Good evening, campers. Welcome back to the Camp Campbell After Show. Well, that's because we're at Camp Campbell. AfterBuzz TV's Camp After Show. Tonight, we're going to take a look at what campers you would look like if you were in Camp Campbell. And we're also going to talk about episodes 5 through 8. So stick with us.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everybody. It's always weird coming up with hip hop, but that's what they end every episode with, because we might as well. It's also really hard to come in on the word heavy theme song, which is why we haven't yet. But welcome to Camp Camp After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. We're joined by the rest of the campers here. I am one of your camp counselors, Mark B. Donaghy. Find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donaghy. Joined by Megan Salinas.
Hey guys, you can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN.
And Patrick Dees.
Hello, you can find me at P to the D's on Twitter. That's D-E-E-S.
Hi, all my buddies. I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me at Kiaxet. That's K-I-A-X-E-T.
Very good. Hello, everybody. I mean, we're very happy to be back. It's been quite some time, but we got 4 fresh episodes of Camp Camp to talk about. But before we do, if you remember correctly, we had a camp activity that a lot more of you than expected took part in.
I know, right?
Pretty stoked about.
They're so good.
Yes, so we did arts and crafts camp. We wanted to know what you would look like if you were attending Camp Campbell and what camp you would be attending. So let's get started. Our first camper is Mallory. Woo! You can find her on Twitter at Malachroma. She is at paleontology camp. Her favorite
it's
dinosaur
actually,
being.
He, actually.
Excuse me. Forgive me. I just wanted to say pachycephalosaur. That's the only reason. So thank you, Mallory.
Triple Yahtzee, Mark.
That's me.
Yeah. Adorable.
Absolutely.
Super so cute. Great. Yep. They did such an amazing job.
I'm really glad they took my advice and took home the bones that they found in the forest.
Oh, is that, was that your influence? I can see you're rubbing off.
Yeah. I like it. Dude, mine was the thing about bringing home a skull.
That's right. That's right.
No regrets.
I love it.
And then we've got JT here at Tyrion Rogue from Arts and Crafts Camp. Loves to make lanyards. I don't know if anybody else in camp made lanyards.
Yes.
I could never get it down.
I made lanyards when I was in middle school because there was literally nothing else to do in my hometown.
That was Lanyardville, USA. I love it.
And then here we have Caitlin at Writing Camp.
Oh,
at Real Miss K. Rose.
So good.
This will be a little bit of an ongoing theme. We've got a couple of people at Writing Camp. So let's move on to our next camper. This is Ham, who is at Sleep the Day Away Camp.
Oh,
at
that's a
sketch art. Absolutely love this.
That's
one.
The best camp.
So yeah, good.
I would have gone there. I didn't know that was a camp.
And it actually
I'm going there tomorrow.
And that actually looked a little bit like Lieti, like mini Lieti, which is a little,
a little
weird. And then we have Arid from 24 Hour Call Center. They decided to make themselves. They wanted to know what the coolest name was. We said it was Arid, and so we've got another Arid. Did not say what camp they're at. So let's say art camp because they're pretty dang talented. And then we have
music
Max.
Camp. Did you see the headphones?
Yeah,
maybe
like,
perhaps.
Okay.
Or those might have been
the cat headphones.
Just the cat ears that just move and respond to sound.
Oh no, those are headphones. They have speakers built into the ears. You can buy those.
DJ camp.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Scratch it
up.
We have Max, the quieter Max, the other quieter Max, also an attendant of Writing Camp. We're building a mini army here, and then our next camper, we have Kay.
Oh,
so
good.
A little too big for them. Hiking camp is their activity of choice, and you can find them at Of Mike's Mice and Mech.
Hell of a Twitter handle.
Yes,
I mean,
wonderful one.
Legit.
So now we're going to get into our counselors.
Yes.
We have
Lil Katie
at Writing Camp.
Hey, Lil Katie.
So you're the Writing Camp counselor because
yes,
we have so many.
And it's writing because I can't draw for anything.
Hey, Lil Katie. She's
absolutely
adorable.
Absolutely. Cannot.
And I like how you when we were talking about this before, you thought that was booze and not coffee.
What? Is that supposed to be coffee?
Why
I thought it was booze.
It's tea.
Or tea.
Oh, okay.
You've seen me during NaNoWriMo. You know how I get.
You also have a bottle of whiskey called Writer's Tears.
Yes, that's entirely Farley's fault.
I mean, look,
she is
get
the
started.
One who provides the Writer's Tears for Miles and Carrie for Ruby as well.
So
she's a lovely human being. No, I cannot write drunk, edit sober. I'm not Hemingway. And if I drink, I can't write.
So why'd you pick Writing Camp?
Yeah.
Because that's what I do. And obviously arts and crafts is not my strong suit.
Even as a youngin', you were always excited about writing.
Oh my god, yes.
That's very cool. What was it? What was an example of something you wrote at this age?
most of it gets burned at this point.
Aww.
Some really really, tell me there was some really great, like, fan driven stuff.
Oh, there was some very old fan fiction that does not ever need to see the light of day.
I think it does. Can that be our next assignment?
No, Mark, please.
It's in paper form and may or may not have survived under my bed at my parents' house.
Goodness.
And by may or may not, I mean, probably not. That stuff was from third grade.
Megan, I'll pay good money for this. If you can get them to, I'll slow tweet
them
out.
Holding it hostage?
Yeah, no. I'll make this worth your while.
Let's move on to our next person.
We've got Lil Mark. At Wrestling Camp.
Wrestling Camp.
I was just going to put Pro Wrestling Camp, but I rewatched the list of camps, and Wrestling Camp is on there.
Okay.
So I was like, why not? I would have given anything if there was a pro wrestling camp back when I was a kid. And I painted myself up like the Ultimate Warrior, who was my favorite as a kid.
Oh, I thought it was Strong Bad.
No, really funny you should say that. That wasn't around when I was a kid, but some Homestar Runner coming up later in the show.
Good man, good man.
I got Lil Megan at Mystery Camp.
That's so good.
So, when I was a kid, I definitely loved Scooby-Doo, in case you can't tell. But even as an adult, I grew to love murder mysteries. And when we got to see the Spooky Island episode, you know, looking for ghosts and monsters, yeah. I was like, I would have been all about that as a kid. The flip side is that I am also terrible at, I would be the world's worst detective. So it's a good thing that I'd be a terrible detective because I would have never solved that mystery that they solved, which we'll get into. I would have stayed blissfully ignorant.
Something's better unsolved.
But we had like an empty lot by my house growing up. And so like me and my friend were always like making up like, oh, we found footprints right here. It was the cutest thing.
So there had to be a mystery to it. Yep. Let's take a look at our final camper. This Lil Pat.
Yes.
At Space Camp.
Yes.
This looks mysteriously like a photograph.
It is. It is driven by a photograph.
So this is a real thing.
This is a real
thing,
which I'd be happy to show you guys, maybe on or off the air. Yeah. So it's going to appear in a children's book in the very near future. So I kind of sourced some of this. I added a helmet and a Han Solo blaster. So the picture comes from a time when I was just about to go off to my first Cub Scout camp. Mm-hmm. And I did take a replica Han Solo blaster, as you do.
As you do.
As you do. I was a big sci-fi nerd as a child and as an adult. And I conflated all the universes. So it didn't really matter if it was a Star Trek phaser or a Han Solo blaster. If it happened in space, it was my jam. And if there was... we also lived in Houston, so the idea of going to space camp was just so close. It was so close.
I couldn't imagine.
I think Christmas just came early.
You got a little bit from everybody. So we got another camp activity planned for you that relates to this a little bit, and we'll be more on that at the end of the show. But let's get into Journey to Spooky Island,
yes.
Episode 5 of Camp Ooh. Camp. We talked a little bit about this in our last episode, but now we have full reign. This was absolute madness. We got a new character, Jasper, who joined temporarily for reasons, who is the absolute most adorable guest star, I would say, so far.
Played by Griffin McElroy?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, my brother, and me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Podcast extraordinary. Writes for Polygon, the website. Really talented dude. I was very excited to hear Griffin.
Mm-hmm. Something that we're starting to see in this episode that kind of becomes a theme in the rest of them is how Nikki and Max are the extremes of a certain character type, but how they can't be really apart from each other, whether it's through Nikki or through Max. What did you notice, Megan, about these two, particularly in Journey to Spooky Island?
It's so funny because they're both so stubborn, and something that you see throughout all of these episodes actually is that Max, when he thinks he's right, he will go to the ends of the earth to prove he's right, but at the same time will act like he's above the situation. Mm-hmm. Like he can't stand the idea of there actually being a ghost. Like he's like, no guys, it's just this. There's absolutely nothing to be afraid of, even though there was something to be terrified of.
Well, and jumping ahead, it's the same thing in the last episode we watched. He was so absolutely certain that he was right that he just completely lost track of the two that he dragged around with him.
And and to that point, it seemed like into town, he was trying to make up for what he may have lost as a human being, as a freedom fighter,
sure.
as any bravery would have it, that he lost in Journey to Spooky Island. That's a wonderful point you bring up, Katie.
Just also, in general.
Well, in general, too. But we also had a little bit this sort of introduced the idea of the platypus as just around. And
he's a thing now.
He's a side.
He's there. He's there.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Thank you. I never figured out my parry noise, but I can definitely do this one.
And I, not to interrupt, but I really liked, going back to Nikki, I liked seeing that even she has her limits because she's this very adventurous, scrappy young kid. But then at the same time, when the situation gets a little too extreme, and again, we see it on both episodes, like, even she, after a while, she's like, I don't want to be here, which I actually pulled,
if James could find it.
Maybe. Which one are we looking for?
I don't want to be here, under Nikki.
I don't want to be here. Perfect. That one.
The absolute lifeblood emptying from her. Even, like, there's blood and hair. Awesome. Yes. But no.
And then they walked into a torture chamber, and it was just like, that's it, we're done, goodbye.
Was the torture chamber the sex dungeon, or the one without the people?
No, there was the torture chamber, and then there was the sex dungeon. They're two very different things. All you have to do is ask the fans.
One was mental, one was physical.
I don't know. Someone was enjoying it down there. It just wasn't our three protagonists.
Somebody was. Patrick, your first response to the reveal of the sex dungeon.
Oh my god.
That's our show.
Yep. So the show continually, I get lulled into thinking, hey, this is a fun camp show, and it's you guys pitched me on it as South Park, right? Like South Parkian, right? Mm-hmm. Like in that kind of, and I lost sight. I was lulled into, oh, cute Griffin McElroy talking about his L.A., like, what are they called?
His
L.A.
gear, light-up shoes. And the Harlem Globetrotters.
Totally. And I was lulled into, like, oh, this is great. And then, oh, my God. And, like, didn't see the quartermaster coming. God, phrasing. Sorry.
No, that's true.
Neither did the rest of us.
That.
There was a box in front of it.
True story. And that was, I immediately wanted that back.
But that was Cameron Campbell brand sex aid, which is, I think, how he gets paid and why he sticks to doing his job is because he gets to have sex parties at this weird castle. Because why not?
Because why not?
I howled when that happened. I was absolutely cracking up. I have video proof of this. We do reaction videos for this. It was just like, yeah,
but I really didn't see it coming at all. Guess phrasing. My point is, like, I very, very much was like,
I'm saying so bad that you didn't keep pointing it out.
I know, but I feel obligated to, right? Like, it's that's what she said type joke. Yeah. You have to. I feel like I'm obligated, but like very much this episode specifically did a really good job of zigging and leaning into a bunch of kids on a mystery, and then nope, this is it's adult time.
Well, and it steered into the extremes, like when we get to the science laboratories where everybody starts going, okay, clearly something terrible happened here, and then it gets into the torture chamber. It's like, wow, it just continued escalating. And so it was a wonderful misdirect.
Right? No, totally. They even had that, like, Pinky and the Brain reference in the... And I was like, this will be benign, whatever it is. And it was not that.
Well, even
it's
Max...
It's like eggs, milk, bread, murder.
Ooh, I like that.
It's a trope.
Okay.
It's where you have a list, and you kind of start with smaller things, and then you pull out the huge one from the middle of nowhere. It is the opposite of arson, murder, and jaywalking.
It totally followed.
I'm so,
thank you.
Pulling out the big one from nowhere, phrasing.
It's phrasing.
They even had the misdirect with Max, who said, it's probably just going to be a wounded dog or something.
Yes.
Made you go, you know what? Yep. They're probably going to do that. They did not do that.
They didn't.
or a guy in a costume.
There was a furry.
Trying to scare people off because of a property dispute. There were certainly people in costumes.
Yes, there were.
I think the more frightening thing is that we saw the character that took his mask off in episode 8 at the electronics store, and I have no idea.
Did we?
Yes, we did.
I missed that.
Me too.
Yeah. Just as a sort of a go home.
Closet furry.
The fact that we were introduced in episode 2 to the quartermaster having other versions of his hand.
Yes.
And having a toy aid.
You can't
unsee that. He had a giant dildo strapped onto his hand, and I have to wonder if that was custom made.
And it would have to be.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's not like hookhandsdildos.com. It's not a thing.
Who
like, definitely.
It is now.
It is now. Yeah. Go register that.
And especially seeing the town, like how low technology they have. Who has a blick of plastic mold? You know, did he go on the internet? Did he get that 3D printed?
Definitely.
You know, they probably have something like that on Amazon, and all you have to do is just kind of drill something in the end so it screws on. I'm sure he's very handy.
Phrasing.
Drill something in the end. Let's move on to the
I love that you think that was an accident.
I do want to point out something just real quick, just another little Easter egg that Mallory pointed out. Jasper was in the old Camp Camp ad from David's childhood. Mm-hmm. Do you think Jasper's death played a part in David's Davidness?
Oh, I doubt it.
Oh, good use of David.
Your light up shoes.
It's my favorite line.
Totally. They light up the night.
I just, I called it from the first moment. Like, oh, there's another kid on the island. And I'm like, he's dead. He's a ghost.
Oh, sure. But if like, you look at him, he looks distinctly 90s. And then all of the references he was making. The fact that he made a Harlem Globetrotters reference, but he's supposed to be, like, David's age. Like, those were on when we were kids, but they were still from the 70s and
80s. Just mentioning Scooby-Doo. I watched Scooby-Doo a lot when I was a kid because they showed it on Cartoon Network, even though it's a really old cartoon. So,
including the Globetrotters one?
Yeah, I don't remember the name of the series, but that was the one where they specifically got celebrities to be like...
That's right, they did Batman and Robin,
Don Knotts a lot.
I think they did a full-on movie with Scooby-Doo and the Harlem Globetrotters. Like, it was like a 60-minute episode made for TV movie.
I would watch that right now.
I am sure you can find it somewhere.
Much like the
points, if you guys can link that in our hashtag #ABTVCampCamp. We also have the live chat going.
Stand on point.
I forgot to lead with that.
I want this comment out of context at all times from Malachroma. Depends on the dildo.
I just love that they're having a very
I'm not an expert
worky
in dildos.
Talk in chat about dildos. It's very
look. It's a safe space.
Pragmatic.
It was more of a tentacle, anyways. this conversation is amazing. I wish we didn't have to push on, but we will. Let's go to the Nazi episode. Rainy Day. This one. seemed distinctly Homestar Runner to me. Like, not even exaggerating.
Yeah, no.
Except they don't do Nazi jokes, but it was very childish. Nikki's line of mystery time, which I do have, is a cue that is very reminiscent of a Homestar, the beginning of a Homestar.
Yeah.
It's super, and the animation holding in place for a little bit, super reminiscent of Homestar Runner, this sort of, it's like this would have been a Halloween cartoon, if they took the Nazi part out of it.
The Nazi part was what I couldn't get over.
Yeah.
You didn't like it.
I had a lot of trouble. Like, I didn't find any of the Nazi stuff funny. Yep. It was just, we made a Hitler reference. The funny one was just the egregious one at the end with Nikki potentially reading David's mind. Like, that was actually really funny. But everything else, you were calling them the Night Vale City Council? The Night Vale City Council.
Great.
They were really funny. Gwen was great. Just, like, everything that wasn't a Nazi joke was funny, but that's only, like, 25% of the episode.
I kind of dug the high fives. High five!
High five was great.
Yeah, me too. I broke. I was like, all right.
It seemed like the construction paper landing under his nose was sort of an inevitability.
Right.
You must color inside the lines. I do not like mixing colors.
Wear your papers.
Yes. The setups were really good, but it seemed all very expected, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
I mean, it's all the same joke. It's this kid looks like Hitler. And if you don't like that particular punchline, you're not going to like the majority of this episode. I watch a lot of South Park, so it didn't phase me, but at the same time, I get why it's not anybody's jam.
What's the series? Is it Final Destination, where the series of kids die over the course of the show?
Oh, yeah.
This
Death
felt
has
like
it out
that
for
to
them,
me,
yeah.
Right? So this felt like, okay, here's the Hitler setup, and we know it's coming. You could see it with the juice upstairs, right? He's like upstairs with the juice. Yeah, exactly.
With the diary.
But I kind of loved with the payoffs of all of it. Like, again, I agree, it was a little repetitive. They went to that well a lot, but I love that you knew it was about to show up. I'm working on phrasing on the episode, and then the payoff was great.
Yeah. I think the payoff, I agree with you, Katie, was Nikki's telepathy going, he really looks like, plus he really looks like Hitler.
Yes.
That once they acknowledged it and went, okay, all of this stuff previously can try to be funny.
And again, threw in a completely unexpected joke with her interrupting David's
mental monologue.
Yes.
And yeah, it was great. For me, again, to get back to like mystery camp, I loved Nikki being like, it's a murder mystery.
Right, right.
We don't know that.
Or not.
Give it time.
Mystery time!
Yay! It might be.
I love David's continual internal monologue being the "this is fine" dog sitting in the room on fire, and then finally just "this is not fine.
This is not fine.
This is not okay."
Speaking of David, you mentioned Gwen earlier, Katie, so I wanted to start with you about this. We're getting more and more of Gwen seemingly being the most responsible adult at Camp Campbell instead. When you look at David, he's like, well, that
you
looks
have
like
a... four adults.
That's arguably a well-adjusted adult.
Well, three adults and a possible Time Lord.
But wait, I don't think there's a possible adult there. So what do you think we got from Gwen here that has been evolving over the past couple episodes at her as the main authority figure, her as the main entrusted figure, who has no ties to Cameron Campbell, just wanting the kids to have a nice time?
Honestly, we've had that since episode one when she was trying to figure out how are we going to run on this budget. We need something to, we need to figure out these numbers. Like, she's been the responsible adult running the camp, and she knows it, and no one listens to her. And I think she knows that if she left, A, we have the comment about the job market being terrible, which I'm sure is absolutely correct.
I mean, ours
and
now,
B,
too.
And B, she knows that the camp would fall apart and people would probably die without her there. So she's just kind of stuck in this awful situation and making the most of it for as long as the summer lasts, because you know what? It pays her.
And I think if Lee weren't so awesome in that role, the rest of the absurdity doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah,
Lee is glorious.
Right.
Lee
Eddy
is a wonderful human being.
And we got more of that in episode 7 and 8.
We did.
I wanted to ask you, Patrick, we finally get to see a little bit of Nerf.
We do.
He's working through his anger issues.
We do.
He's bullying, and I'm coming from a kid who was bullied in school, the very bullyable Harrison the Magic Kid.
Yes.
What did you think of Nerf in this?
I kind of love that. I love that he really wanted to be just part of the group, just like really expressing that. And then instantly the knee jerk was right back to the bullying again. I wish we'd seen more of him. I think that's the only thing that I was missing. When he came into the episode so early, I was like, all right, he's going to be heavily featured this episode. And he wasn't. So I was a little disappointed.
Yeah. He could have been the enforcer for them.
Oh, yeah. Like he's a brown shirt or something. They could have. That would have been a setup.
Something like that.
Yep.
And we got speaking of wanted to be included. Space Kid, just he keeps showing up. Keeps being the just
poor Space Kid. Space Kid, and oh my god.
Well, I mean, he started out so strong with the syrup helmet.
I love the syrup helmet, yes.
But then being that's bullied by the good cop, bad cop combo of Nikki and Max. How is your ongoing opinion of Space Kid, Megan?
I'm just trying to figure, because I listen for Space Kid, and as bad as I feel for the character, I'm always just blown away anytime I hear Space Kid, because I'm like, that's Lindsay. Mm-hmm. Like, it's Ruby Rose, and I'm like, how is she doing that?
Yep.
And
that's just, Kimball.
That's Kimball.
Yeah. There you go.
Even more bizarre.
Yeah, she has wonderful range, so I'm blown away every time. But, like, as a character, I just feel really bad for Space Kid.
But you keep laughing. But you're laughing.
Yes, yes.
You can feel bad for them and still find them funny. He tries so hard.
But in the end, I mean, it doesn't even matter.
Real comedy involves pain.
Well, no, that's the thing. One of the things that I learned back in theater, which we're going to address when we get to Romeo and Juliet 2, was the comedy is a lovable schlub who can't win at any cost. If they win, then it kind of stops being funny. Space Kid can't win.
Oh he my hasn't god, gotten that's why rom-coms are terrible.
That's why rom-coms are terrible, because people win. Which, no. That's not what romance is.
Also,
man.
They're horrifyingly misogynistic, but that too.
Aside from that. the last thing I wanted to talk about to sort of transition into episode 7 was Preston's lack of chill. The second that they said, let's tear up the floorboards, he was like, got it! And he just started ripping stuff up.
I
love it. Yes, I love that quote.
Just
so
ready
much.
to tear down the establishment at
you
the drop
are
of a hat.
On point, dude. Way
Thank
to
you, James.
Be.
So we learn even more. What idea do you think the writers have of theater people, Katie?
I honestly, they've got to be theater people. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the only way you get someone like Preston, is if you have someone who's been a stage manager.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because Preston, during this episode, is every stage manager's internal monologue. It's all the stuff you wish you could say to the dumbasses out on stage screwing it up.
Get your shit together.
Get your shit together.
Well done.
I have a couple of friends who were stage managers, and so I hear them say these things, and I'm like, oh my god, I should just link you this episode out of context and see what you think of it. Because I feel like they would all be like, that's accurate. That's accurate.
Bitch is, but she is killing it.
Do you just have all of Preston on there?
I've got three Preston's greatest hits.
Let's hit the third. I want to hear the third.
No, the third was Les Mis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So transitioning into Romeo and Juliet 2, this is where we get to see Preston featured. We have a shut your yaps, it's time for the play.
And I will say
my now wife, what up? As both of us as theater people, this was the episode of Camp Camp that she reacted to the most because she's a director. And she went, I totally understood. Like, and me coming from that world as well, and being a flippin' tech director, I didn't have as much experience with the actors once they started that was them, but this I hated Max in this episode.
From chat we have Jay Blue Eyed Stairs saying, I think all directors are just eternally internally screaming.
They are.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. So the thing about Max in this episode for me is he's being a jerk to his fellow campers. He sort of treats Neil and Nikki kind of barely with respect, and he doesn't respect David, which is fine, but
definitely fine.
He doesn't go with it. No matter, and that's what kind of bothers me. He doesn't want to try to have fun. And as a theater kid, nothing bothers me more than people that don't stick to the script and people who don't listen to the director, et cetera, things like that. And I think if he had at least tried for Preston, maybe he would have had a little bit more fun, but he ended up being the catalyst to all of the problems in the episode, which is, I suppose, the point.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that got me, you're right about Max in this episode. Megan pointed this out earlier, actually. Why did he essentially turn himself in? Like, why did he fess up to it? He wanted David out so badly. David was on his way out. And then Max went, no, I stole the phone. I changed the Tinder profile. I did this, like, why? That's not his MO. That's not what
he does. I think
it
makes him more redeemable, though, right? Like, if he was just, like, two-dimensional, all chaos, all the time, suck it.
I had a thought on it.
But okay. we've never seen it from him before, and it came out of nowhere this episode.
I have a thought.
Let's hear it.
The game is over at that point. If David does get carted away, Max wins, yes. But there's no one to play with anymore.
Yeah. Batman Joker type relationship, right?
Exactly.
Like they need
but
each
Max
other.
But Max doesn't realize he's the Joker.
Yeah, he thinks he's Batman.
Yes. David's definitely not Batman.
He's Asriel. No, he's Robin.
like tiny Robin.
Like Robin.
Yeah.
Just cute Robin.
Yes. Not even a
like
cool Robin.
Like Holy Zucchini Batman. Yeah. He's that kind of Robin.
Holy Mustard Rusted Metal Batman.
I love that one.
Holy Campers Batman. Holy Batman campers?
I think we've learned that Max is in Annoy David camp, possibly, and without David, he won't be able to continue his camp. This also marks
That's a
return.
Really good point.
We don't know what camp Max is there for. Everybody is there for a specific camp. We don't know what Max is there for yet.
That's true.
He was almost Tinder camp. It was this close, and then he
did know it pretty well.
Oh, yeah,
I like
real
the idea
well.
That it's David camp, though. I like that.
Yeah,
camp,
I do too.
Camp David.
Oh God.
He's a future president. He's a future president.
God help us all.
That light when you knew you hit a home run, you're like, I was a president.
So just whiffing.
So good.
Patrick, I wanted to ask you.
Yes.
You saw the return of some amazing characters this episode.
We did.
Got the return of the Flower Scouts.
Samantha killed it. Yes. I was so excited the minute Tabby with Two Eyes came back.
She's the dumb one.
We also have a line from Tabby, if you can click that.
Awkward silence.
That's fine. Give me a second. That's fine. It's Tabby with two eyes.
Two eyes.
Tabby with two eyes.
That's fine.
She's so good. Yeah. She's so good. I know, like, I feel like I get on the show every week and I'm like, they're so, but they, like, again, it's the strength of the performances that makes this show exciting every week.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll take it. But,
well,
yeah.
And the, and just the fact that she was actually probably the best actor in the show.
Yeah.
She was the one that connected with her character the most of, like, I'm in a doomed romance.
Yeah.
She's the one who gave an actual damn about the play.
Oh, happy dagger. It's so great.
No one else had any dams to invest about this play. They were there because I'm sure that David, backed up by Gwen, roped them into this so Preston could have his theater camp performance. Mm-hmm. I seriously doubt that anyone really wanted to be a part of this, but she did, and that shows.
Two people wanted to be a part of it. Space Kid.
That's right.
True.
And the platypus.
Stole the scene.
Stole the scene.
I do want to point out, has anybody seen a movie called Camp Nowhere?
No.
I was describing Camp to another AfterBuzz host just a little while ago, and she was like, oh, like Camp Nowhere. And I was like, I don't remember. And she's like, the Christopher Lloyd movie. I was like, I've seen that. And the thing that stuck out to me the most about Camp Nowhere was when they were putting on the stage camp, you know, the theater camp portion of their performance. So I thought that was a really good comparison for anybody who likes Camp. Go see Camp Nowhere.
We'll be covering that on Popcorn Talk.
I don't believe I'm buying alcohol for you because of your bum leg.
References. Patrick.
I just want to watch a whole episode of Romeo and Juliet, too. I think Cyborg Romeo was my favorite thing probably in the show to date. It was so great.
Vader reference.
Cyborgs off. No! This isn't canon!
It was so good.
Pause. Black magic.
Yeah. I love the dramatic pause. Bless.
Space Kid just wants to belong.
He does.
And something that I have to say, when I talked to Sam at RTX, she said that upon hearing the Flower Scouts, she thought that they all sounded the same, which they do. But this episode, they seem to have evolved even more in their individuality. And you can tell the three of them apart a lot more than you could in the first episode, which you still could.
She's
the dumb one. Did you get my pumpkin spice?
Yes.
You know it.
It's awful.
Absolutely.
I love that there was just a fish on the Starbucks cups.
Yeah.
It was a bone fish on the cups. I loved it.
I know we've got one more episode to talk about, but I just have to say, like, well-meaning kids trying to put on a show, like, or just well-meaning people in general, like, trying to put on a show in movies or TV, just, it's something that I find very endearing.
Oh,
so
sure.
The kids putting on a show, I was like, that's adorable. I need to see that.
And once Bonquisha got in the mix, we got a little bit more of what Gwen is used to, which is trash TV.
Yeah.
But live on stage. Yeah, just keep. It's on repeat, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
I think it is. That's fine. If we weren't explicit already. Max's plot, I totally agree with. He needs somebody to continue to play with. And yet, when we get to Into Town, but David's at his last nerve. He can't handle it anymore. He puts on his best Junkrat cosplay, bursts into the room with Gwen, and Gwen is beyond understanding.
I love that you called it his best Junkrat cosplay.
Yeah, he was on fire!
Yeah.
But
also, I almost use that as my anime, because he comes in with the thing that says D's Nuts down the side of it, which I've been affectionately called my entire life, so I almost had that as my camper.
Really?
A redhead, yeah.
You are just a backstory treasure trove tonight.
We're just getting started.
Happy.
We're just getting started.
Oh my God.
So many more camp stories.
So we see Gwen being the real adult and the only adult at Camp Campbell. And Max can't let a good thing get passed up. He wants to go into town. What did you think was going to happen, Katie, when our heroic trio followed him into town?
Oh my God, I didn't even know. I just knew it was going to be beautiful. Like, he has the Farmer's Almanac from the 1970s as a book on tape. David just being David, doing whatever he wanted to do, was going to be a glorious episode regardless.
Hitting those Shirley Temples pretty hard.
He's the being a woman. I'm like, no. What self-respecting 10-year-old child has never had a Shirley Temple in their life?
The bartender was fantastic.
That's when you feel that's the special drink that you get when you're not allowed to have caffeinated stuff after 5 p.m. You get a Shirley Temple.
I loved it that he said that it's the you people. What do you mean you people? It's
like, you know, kids. Children.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It was your kind.
Yeah, was that the thing.
What
do you mean your kind?
Your kind, kids. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Very good.
I loved accidentally walking into Muffin Tops. Like, you get out. You come back
when you're 18.
And that it's called Muffin Tops.
Yep.
That they're a body positive strip club.
Sure.
Yeah.
Patrick, what do you think Max saw at Muffin Tops? Because he said that was unexpected.
It's a play-by-play
here. So what happens when you walk into a Muffin Top? I don't, whatever. Like, that is a formative moment as a child when you see... I don't want to say too much. I think that's it's
we're
a shocking experience.
Just
we are very. I can't even imagine seeing what he saw. In I'm turning several colors of red. I think I feel about what he was feeling at that moment. Mm-hmm. He was a little star-crossed. I think it was pretty. He will never forget his experience in Muffin Tops.
This is the second time in 4 weeks that he's had a traumatizing other people's sex experience.
True.
Maybe that's,
I don't know, there was sex involved, right? Like, just some really great pole dancing in the middle of nowhere.
I think we're learning a little bit
more
about...
Or it might have been some terrible pole dancing in the middle of nowhere.
True.
I think we're learning a little bit more about what Max's home life was like before he made it to Camp Campbell and needed a place to let off all of the steam. Maybe he had a traumatizing moment at home.
Maybe
Spooky Island brought back repressed memories of walking in on Grandma and Grandpa.
Just maybe. Saying, you sound like Trump. Maybe. People are saying that people, maybe he walked in.
I'm not saying it's real.
People are saying.
Heard.
Just like a thought. I don't know what his home life is like. I don't know if his parents are together or not. But if he is living with a single parent, maybe the reason they shipped him off to camp was because he keeps driving away possible suitors.
I could see that.
Maybe.
I could see that. That's pretty insightful.
He sounds like that kind of kid.
Maybe David's his stepdad's name, Patrick.
I think the kid's very well informed. Honestly, when you were asking earlier, and not to go back to the last episode, you asked, like, why does he give up, right? Like, why does he turn himself in, take responsibility? I actually think it was because David mentioned that he was framed like Stephen Avery for making a murderer. And I feel like he was that looped in, that dialed into that.
He's
this kid knows some things.
Well, and he's constantly consuming, like, his worldview is shaped by the media.
Sure.
Just like, fight the power.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like on TV. And actually, Max on Twitter points out, Max also revealed in this episode that he didn't want to ruin David, just show him he's wrong.
Some people just can't stand other people's happiness.
Cry to sleep like the rest of us, right?
Yeah,
like,
not a monster.
Yeah.
I have to say, one dumb gamer in the chat says, P to the D's nuts.
Yep, I might have heard that a few times,
happy.
But I'm so glad that it's coming out here, too.
Bless you, my children. You are all wonderful human beings.
That was a hidden whack from James. We got, but this was one episode after Max used David's phone to look to see what boobies look like. And yet, he walked in and got horrified.
There's a distinction between seeing, there's
Fair
a
play.
Level of separation when you're seeing it on a phone versus walking into Muffin Tops.
Yeah, it's called dehumanization.
Well, this is also a town
of abstraction
that is so antiquated. Fun was outlawed in 1906, yet we have a modern strip, seemingly modern strip club, and an underground furry sex dungeon.
There's been strip clubs since the dawn of time, before the ham radios.
It's stripping in old-timey dress, so they're like pulling up their skirts ever so slightly and showing some ankle.
I will say that for
short
a moment,
and ankles all
I
the way.
Thought, I, for a moment, I thought the town existed in like some sort of time, like Stephen King time
so
nexus.
Did I. Oh, totally.
Because, because everything seemed so antiquated. I was like, is this town like in some weird space-time continuum like deal? Because why is everyone like this? But I guess it's just because fun was outlawed.
Well, I mean, I've been to Kansas, and I used to live in Cheyenne. So this kind of stuff happens in places that don't get a lot of traffic.
Now who's full of backstory? I feel like, come on.
That's the backstory corner over there.
you lockdown. And me!
So another thing that happens in the episode is Nikki seemingly, where do you think? Here, I'm gonna start with you, Megan. Okay. Where do you think Nikki started to get sick? Was it at the dress shop that she stopped
in
front of?
It was immediately being next to the dress shop because yes. I feel like, especially for such an, because I feel like she's obviously happiest when she's out in nature. Mm-hmm. But being in an a more urban environment, and that because it's still a pretty rural town,
a rustic rural town.
Yeah, but like being put in, I guess, civilized society.
There you go.
And being such an old-fashioned town, like I imagine that they have very antiquated ideas of what it means to be ladylike.
Sure. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's just something she felt in her gut.
Totally right. That I think that was emblematic of like. conformity, nice. And she'd like emblematic of conformity, right? And she'd rather be on her hands and knees barking and like growling and like looking for, you know, the murder mystery.
Rolling
Did
in
anyone
the dirt.
Notice yes. the Firefly reference there?
No.
The dress in the shop was the pink Kaylee dress.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Good yeah, eye. Good eye.
There is another animation reference in the old timey electronic shop. The radio from the Brave Little Toaster
yeah.
was behind the counter.
So cute.
And that's where Neil, who has been deprived of any sort of technology, gets amazed by less modern tech, like old modern technology, like classic technology.
He's like, how did you guys even do this?
He was just stuck in front of the TV. He's like, I'm watching. Fixes a radio without even looking. Now shut up, I need to watch TV.
It's poor men. And he ends up getting a job there, and he mm-hmm. and I'm surprised that he blocked out. That's where the guy, the furry from episode 5, comes in and hands his thing over.
Doesn't even remember the island. No. It's just gone.
I don't think he ever looked at the guy. I don't think his eyes ever came off the screen. He just grabbed the radio, fixed it without looking, and
he was blocked in.
Yeah, I didn't even look. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure he repressed the sex dungeon.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's be real.
That'll show up years later in therapy.
Would you look at the Rorschach test?
No! Don't want to go to the island.
It looks like a dildo arm. Son, what's a dildo arm?
It looks like a dildo arm.
That's our word of the day! So
I think that's our hashtag of the day.
Dildo arm.
Along with Backstory Corner and I Don't Want to Be Here.
Dildo arm. I think I saw Dildo Arm at the Cobalt back in high school.
Dildo Arm is my Nine Inch Nails cover band.
There you go. So Max, this is sort of, I think, starts a change in Max's character because in his pursuit to try to keep an eye on David and see what makes him tick, he thinks that he has gone too overboard. We talked about it a little bit earlier, where he just wanted to change him, but he thinks he's going to get murdered.
Yes, probably rightfully so at this point.
Yes,
this is not the first time he's gone somewhere and been like, "I'm going to get murdered."
I'm
now.
Super dead.
Yeah, this is the second time in the show where he's thought he was going to get murdered.
Definitely.
Yeah. But this time, as opposed to the quartermaster, where he seemingly was ready for death, something that happened in between episode 2 and episode 8 made him fear death now. Not just because it was from his nemesis, but because I think, as we saw at the end when Neil notices what's happened to Nikki, poor Nikki, he has more of a world to care about with his friends.
Yes.
But I wouldn't look at it that way at all, to be completely honest. I think it was because it's David that he thinks is going to kill him. You go into the woods with a quartermaster, you're like, okay, he's got a hook for a hand, there's going to be teenagers in a car door somewhere. Like, you expect to die if you're going anywhere.
Movie.
Exactly,
yeah.
you're walking into a horror movie. But David is David! And you really don't, you make jokes about nobody's, where the neighbors would say, nobody expected him to do it. He was such a nice boy. Like, you make jokes about that, but when it actually happens, you're like, no, nobody expected him to do it. He was such a nice boy. So he thinks he can just push David forever with no pushback. And he's starting to worry that there will be very violent pushback, and he's not expecting it.
I agree 100%. I think it's less about the idea that you know, something bad is going to happen to him. I think it's more about I am the orchestrator of my own demise.
Absolutely, like, absolutely, right?
I am reaping what I sow.
And speaking to that, the reason why I bring the other two into it is because he says, we've gone too far. And they're like, no, this was you. This was all you. So he has just a subconscious thing of, we're all in this together.
Yeah, absolutely.
We all did it.
Totally.
So I think he has
really
a worry for them as well.
Which is a cute way to think about it, actually.
Sure.
Well, and I think we're onto something about the initial point. He has more to lose. When he's off with the quartermaster, it's like, well, I did this to myself. And when he's with them, it's, well, We all did this to ourselves. No, no, you did this to everyone.
We find out that David, though, just wants to show them the majesty of camping firsthand. He, as Max put it, you take a break from camping to go camping! Absolutely beautiful moment. No, sure.
Like, camping is great.
There is a big, big... No, go ahead. You had it. You were doing
no,
it.
No, 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 no.
Okay. There's a huge difference between... I'm going to go off in the woods by myself and make my own tent, and sure. I'm going to go fish for a while. And I know fishing can be really boring if you're watching other people doing it, but it can also be really zen if you're the one. I've gone fishing before. It's a thing. There's a huge difference between that and I, along with three other adults, have to chaperone 24 very different, very hyperactive children, at least one of which is actively out to get me. You are on. All the time.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if the kids aren't having fun, like, he's not doing his job. And yeah. Everyone should be having fun at Camp Campbell.
Yeah. Just like he did when he was a kid. So that's episodes 5-8. Before we go and get to the camp activity, we're going to do a small little bit of predictions. You don't have to do the sound drop. Where do you think the relationship between the three main characters is going to go in the next four episodes, starting with you, Katie?
Honestly, given the nature of the show, I'd imagine it would stay much the same. Mm-hmm. I don't really see a lot of emotional development happening again, just because the nature of the show. I don't think we're going to have any real big, you're my best friends forever and I love you all. Like, that's not how anyone here functions. I think we've seen them form a cohesive unit, and I think it's going to pretty much stay that way.
I just want them to have theme music. They almost got there, and then nope.
I think how hard it is to get a handheld theremin.
It was so good.
I think if anywhere sold pocket theremins, it would be the place in town.
Yeah.
I just want them to lull me into, hey, things are going to continue like Katie thinks, and then I want Max to do something just unbelievable, and then cliffhanger till season two.
I like it. Honestly, I think they're dynamic because they're the comedy trio.
Yeah.
Nothing yes. should come and
Jasper.
Mess with that.
Yeah, Jasper.
Yeah, Jasper.
You and
get
your LA
together.
Lights.
But, light up the night. But a relationship, if we're talking about predictions, a relationship I would like to see form. I would like to see Bonquisha become David's actual girlfriend.
Oh.
Like, how great would that yes. be if Max's shenanigans ended up... like connecting David with
yes.
his soulmate.
Oh,
how
totally.
Great would
see
that
her
be?
Becoming a counselor?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be the best.
Online dating camp? Let's do this.
Oh God.
Let's do this.
I think it would be amazing if as the episode 8 was ending, you saw another car pull up and it was Bonquisha.
I would be unbelievable.
And that was the day off and it was like we're gonna actually have a camp and we're gonna have a nice day because this is how I know how to do it. I'm going along with what you're saying, Patrick, okay. about the group, except instead of something crazy, something nice. Something against
oh,
Max,
interesting.
Something,
all right.
something surprising yep. for Max's character that makes everybody go, what? It's referring back to Homestar Runner, there's a moment where you spend so much stupid that you get one smart
sure,
thing,
yep,
one
yep.
really smart thing.
Yep.
And so Max will be doing all this crazy stuff where he earns one nice thing that he has to do or else something bad is going to happen. He has to be nice. And that's where that's going to end the season.
Which they aww. Walk back immediately in the first 2 minutes of episode one.
Yes.
Next
sure,
season,
exactly.
Like immediately. I was like, no, what I meant by that was something terrible, whatever that is, but walk it right back.
Malachroma makes a really good point in the chat.
Pre-usual.
Squirrel Rebellion, remember?
Yes, that I actually wrote down. Answer into Spooky Island
just,
is like
it starts.
So the rebellion has begun.
That wasn't bad.
Get
Mark.
Him a rabies shot. Not again.
So yeah, so we have two overarching storylines that seemingly were nothing that are continuing. The Woodland Creature Rebellion, which is going to make another appearance at the at within the next four episodes, and I'm pretty sure we're either going to see Snake. Or the kids from Wood Scouts back,
please.
Yes.
or blank the flower Scouts back
yes.
again, just as because they're fun antagonists. But until we meet again, we have one more camp activity for you.
Beautiful. Lay it on me.
Actually,
what are we doing?
We're going to give you a choice. We have two camp activities. You can do one or the other because one puts yourself a little bit out there. One, we're going to flex our theater camp muscle. We want you, everybody has a camera in their pocket. We want you to give us your favorite line. We want you to perform your favorite line as your favorite camper as an exercise
all right.
of theater camp.
All right, I like it.
Or... if we're doing arts and I'm trying to do stuff that's free.
Yes.
Because I was doing macaroni art, but you have to go out and you have to get macaroni and all that crap. So instead,
I
you have your campers, You have your camp, but what colors are you flying? Let's see the flag of your camp of choice. We have three members of writing camp. Let's see a collaboration. We want it. Let's work together as campers, and we want to see what sort of flag why can I talk right now? It's because we're being rushed, and that's entirely my fault. But we want to see what your camp looks like. Give us a flag. Give us your favorite line. Theater camp, arts and crafts camp. We want to see it for next time. But until then, Katie, where can the folks find you?
I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, and YouTube at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. I'm also on Snapchat at Kia Prime. The YouTube is mostly reaction videos and vlogs. I have no idea how you pronounce that, care. We are also on Steven Universe, Mondays at 10 p.m. We recap the previous week's episodes, and Voltron, Thursdays at 10 p.m. So we'll be back here in an hour to talk about giant lion robots, because it's amazing.
Yay. I love that you said Snapchat. That was pretty great. I'm not on any of that nonsense. Just Peter the D's on Twitter. I also host a video game podcast on iTunes called Pixel by Pixel.
I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheManguin. That's TheManguin. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, and I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with two Ks. Be sure to check those out.
You're a dang professional. Constant professional. You can follow me on Twitter at Mark Bidonica, because that's my name, Mark Bidonica. And you can follow all of us at ABTV Rooster Team. That is our group account. We're going to be posting all of the camper art again, as well as some clips from this show, because I had a fun time doing that last time. But yes, we want to see your camp activities. Tweet to us at ABTV Rooster Team using the hashtag camp, or ABTV Camp Camp. Or if there's too many symbols, just send us the picture. We love you. Follow all of us here at AfterBuzz TV. Leave us a review on iTunes. Leave us a comment down below. Until next time, we will see you at Camp Campbell.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
I warn you, child!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.